Wasn't that amazing again, just to be able to worship the Lord together? And thanks again to an amazing team. And I've said this before, but can I just say it again? And a whole team of people who work at home, each in their individual homes, send it together. Bradley and Kerry, they put it together. And this is what we get. Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 9, and of course I'm reading from the NIV, but you can follow on the screen. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, that's the disciples, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Matthew chapter 11. The Lord says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened and laden heavy, and I will give you rest." And yet, my friends, I wonder if you'll agree with me if I said today that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of restlessness. And I want to discuss that with you a little bit this morning. I want to talk about two things about this gospel of restlessness. The first thing is the restlessness of God, and then the restlessness that God puts in us to bring all of this together in this gospel of restlessness. So let me start with God. When we look at God, we'll see that God is relentless and tireless and in his pursuit of people. Tired, weary, struggling, hurting, needy, hopeless people. People who are anxiously trying to find rest in a world in which there is no rest, full of unrest and restlessness. And so often, what we'll do is we'll listen to the words of the world that just deceive us. Do more of this and you'll find rest. Buy more of this and you'll find rest. Have more of this and you'll find rest. Work harder and you'll find rest. And all it does, it just tires us more and more and more and makes us more restless. So often, we'll walk through all kinds of doors that are supposed to bring rest. And all we find is we walk into the cul-de-sac head on and it hurts over and over. And God looks at us and God says, "I want to give you rest." Because you see, God knows that the only place that you and I can find rest, my friends, is with God himself. The one who makes that invitation and says, "Come to me if the burdens are too heavy. Come to me if you're struggling, and I will teach you how to live with the unforced rhythms of life. I'll give you rest." Not put you on a couch and give you a TV, that rest that fills you and makes you new. God knows that there's only one place that I can find rest, and that place is called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me, because I am the way and the truth and the life." To find that rest, we need to come face to face with Jesus. We need to start walking with Jesus. We need to sit with Jesus, start drinking from that fountain of life that gives that rest. And God knows that there's only one power that is powerful enough to give the rest that we need. And that's the Holy Spirit of God, the wind, the breath, the parakletos, the advocate, the comforter that will give the rest. But here's the thing. When we find this rest, the neat thing that God does is that God doesn't put us on a couch. God doesn't put us in a groove because, you know, the only place that a groove takes me is to my grave. I've said that before. The only difference between a groove and a grave is the depth. He doesn't say, well, there, you got it. So you are in your groove, you go. God makes us restless as He is restless for a broken and a hurting world. And that's what Jesus is doing when we read here in Acts chapter 1. Because somehow it seems that the disciples kind of fell into this groove. When Jesus was here on earth, they were in the groove and they were just going, well, Jesus, you're doing it all well. And we're just kind of cruising along and we're doing that. And then He died and all these strange things happened and they were kind of all over the place, and then they hit their new groove. Oh, well, Jesus is gone. It just must have been that. So now we're just going on with our own lives. But my friends, that's not how the gospel works. And maybe that's how they ask the question here in Acts. And they said, so Jesus, just tell us something. Is this now the time that you're going to raise up the kingdom for Israel again? Because they're thinking, yeah, we can hit that groove. And there we go. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of restlessness. And instead of just placating them and putting them in their groove, Jesus shocks them into action. He says, let me tell you what. Stay here in Jerusalem, the last place in the world that you want to be, because this is where they kill Christians. This is where they persecute Christians. Stay here. And then wait. No. Don't lie and sleep. Wait actively. Be ready. Get yourselves ready. Because I'm going to send you this gift called the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit, that power of God, comes upon you, the restlessness of God will come upon you. And the moment God makes you restless, you will be my witnesses. Oh my goodness, and is that ever an amazing word in the Greek? The word witness in Greek is the word martyres. Can I say that again? Martyres. Martyrs. That's where we get the word martyr from. You will become restless and become my witnesses in this Jerusalem where they kill Christians, and you will bring my rest to Judea, the most northern part of this place. And even in Samaria, where you don't want to go, where you rather would have the fire and brimstone come down, as Peter asked at one stage. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of restlessness. So wait, because when that power comes, you are going to be so restless. But it actually happens even before Pentecost. Because unknowingly, as they choose Matthias to take the place of Judas, they are restoring this body of 12. Right now, still a dry and tired and weary old body of bones that's not doing anything. But then comes that moment of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit comes, and 12 dry bones become a living, alive body filled with flesh and the Spirit of God. And 12 in Acts chapter 2, 41 changes from 12 to 3,000, moves in Acts chapter 4, 4 to another 5,000, which will become in Revelation chapter 5, a countless multitude of every people and nation and language. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a restless gospel. And you see that throughout the book of Acts. If you want to read that, you'll see how chapter after chapter, this wonderful, restless wind spirit, gentle spirit of God moves through people and changes their lives from hopeless and desperate into alive and living and knowing God, changed forever. That's what the gospel does. But here's the thing. The moment the Spirit of God comes into us, God makes us restless. Why? Because God in his restlessness, in his pursuit of people in need, wants to break through our old stereotypes, through our old theologies, through our old programs, through those old glasses that we looked at the world and looked at people, and it was just us and our little group, and we're going to do our thing, and as long as we're okay. God says, no, no, no. Look at the world. Look at the brokenness. Look at the need. Look at the despair. And they don't know that I will give them rest, and they can live graciously with me. So this is what I want. I'm sending you. I'm going to make you restless. I'm sending you into a world of injustice and poverty so that you can tell them of who I am and bring my justice. Where you can change this poverty into my riches, where I will change their world because of you and what you do and how you care. And I spoke about that last week when we spoke about Rachel's home. I want to send you into this world of brokenness and misery so that you can become restless about that and change that through the gifts that I have given you. Blessed are the restless, for they will receive rest. Matthew chapter 5, there on the mountain, Jesus speaks on the Mount of Beatitudes, speaks those beautiful words. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Can I change the words of the Lord Jesus? Blessed are those who tirelessly come before God, pleading, crying with broken hearts for this world, asking, oh God, in your relentless pursuit of us, please change hearts. Please change and bring your joy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what God wants, for they will be satisfied. Can I change that into our context? Blessed are those who tirelessly, relentlessly work for justice in a world filled with injustice. Who tirelessly pray and work and go out into this world to bring God's justice and God's peace and God's care and God's love that loves those who are imperfect into His perfect kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what God wants, for the kingdom of heaven is there. There's Matthew 5:10. In our context, blessed are those who go wherever God wants them to go and work to make this world a better place. For the invitation is, come to me, all who are overburdened and weary and tired, and I will give you rest. I will teach you the unforced rhythms of life. It's up to us to be restless so we can receive that blessing. Because as you remember the old story in the Hound of Heaven, where it talks about this rabbit running away because this dog every day is chasing it. And this one day couldn't get into its rabbit hole, and it was running and running. It was so tired it couldn't run anymore, and it fell on its back, and it just lay there and wait for this dog to pounce on it and just tear it to pieces. And the dog comes panting and it falls down next to the rabbit, and it says, man, am I ever glad that you decided to just wait for me, because I've been running after you so long, because all I wanted to say to you is, I want to be your friend, and I want to love you, and I want to care for you. And that's God in His restlessness. God will run after us tirelessly, relentlessly. How does God run? Through His Spirit. And the Spirit comes in me and you, and we spoke about that last week. And then God says, I'm going to make you restless. And when God makes us restless, we're like that person who was blind and now can see, and I've got to tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Oh, the blessedness of God's restlessness. When God comes and gives me rest and then makes me restless. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and I will make you restless so that you can be my witness. I pray that God will make us restless. Amen. Pray with me. Amazing God. How amazing that you make us restless because of who you are. Because you want to give us rest. Because you want to give this world rest. But that only comes when we, Lord, go out and we bring this message. We become your hands and feet, even in a COVID-19 world. There are so many ways in which we can bring that message of rest and peace and the unforced rhythms of living before you. Show us, Lord. Make us restless, Lord. Bless us with your restlessness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.